had to not listen too closely. Beautifully done. Thank you. It's funny how some of these holidays are so fraught, you know? And Father's Day takes us kind of the same place Mother's Day did, in a different way. It hits on so many levels that we're still trying to figure out what all those feelings are. I know that a lot of my girlfriends still think of our fathers as daddy, whether they're on the earth or not. But I also know that many people don't have that relationship with their biological father. And that role was fulfilled by others. So we've got that level of the Father's Day message. We also have the idea of the divine masculine and the divine feminine. We talked about the divine feminine on Mother's Day. We'll talk about the divine masculine today, or as Billy has demonstrated, the cosmic masculine. And knowing that because we're living in this earthly existence in these human bodies, we have a tendency to make things binary, black and white, good and bad, male and female. And it's difficult for us to think about all of these things in a way that's more merged, that's more integrated, so that even saying Father, Mother, God, Mother, Father, God is still limiting our understanding. Do you remember the first time you heard Mother God or the Divine Feminine? It was like, whoa, hang on a minute. Because our culture has made God masculine. Has even, you know, made, not just masculine, made God a dude. An old wise dude. A punishing dude. And, you know, even other cultures have got a masculine God or a masculine figure that has favor and punishment that it gives out. So we've got a lot to overcome in our just culturally in order to understand a more integrated view of the divine. So what we're going to focus on today, just for a little bit, is the idea that that we've got different aspects of God that demonstrate in human life. The feminine we think of as expressing in females. Or in more soft, nurturing ways. And the masculine in ways of more activity and protection. And all of that can have, in human demonstration, a lot of toxicity. You know, when we see masculine energy being used for aggression and violence, that's about as toxic as it can get. To be abused. But it's required of all of us that we try as much as we can to embody masculine and feminine energies in us in order to get things done. Because one without the other is incomplete. It is great to have an overabundance of feminine spiritual energy. Oh, it's great because you've got great ideas and you've got this nurturing womb environment. Am I getting that all demonstrated? You've got all that, but unless you do something with it, it's incomplete. Or if you're out there muscling your way through the world and being super competent and accomplished and, you know, climbing that ladder and, you know, I'm going to call it lumberjack energy, and it doesn't matter what color the shirt is, you know what I mean? If you do that without having some intentionality and some basis for the ideas that you're then demonstrating in the world, that's incomplete. So we need all of that together. And we have these two holidays not only to honor people who are just as much, well, we're part of their DNA, they're part of ours. And so it's important for us to honor those figures in our lives on these two particular holidays in order to say thank you for everything you were to me. All the good stuff and even all the bad stuff, because it made me grow. And I take responsibility for the parts in myself that felt wounded by you so that I might heal them and let you off the hook. I could stop right there. That would be the end of Mother's and Father's Day services right there. However, I do want to take today to talk about our spiritual ideas, our divine thoughts, and how we express them in the world, how we bring them into form, how we bring them into fruition, how we practice that balance. Because it's kind of like love and wisdom have to share the same plate. If you have love without wisdom, you can be foolish. If you have wisdom without love, you can be harsh and closed off. So the masculine and the feminine dance with each other that way. I also want to acknowledge the fact that it's only been 1 year since Juneteenth was declared a national holiday. About time, I'd say, you know, to celebrate the fact that a bunch of people decided that maybe slavery wasn't such a great idea. To enslave other human beings maybe wasn't the way to go. So we celebrate that today, and we continue to work for justice and equality. We continue to do that. On Wednesday this week is the summer solstice. So we're standing on a point of convergence right now. And speaking of convergence, there's also a convergence of planets in the sky right now. Venus, Mars, Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn. Is that right? Sounds good, doesn't it? That's you know, 5 out of 9. I don't know. I think I've lost count. So we're standing here, as Jan talked about in her meditation today, we're standing on the verge of so many things. And again, I'm tired of the labor pains that we've been going through. I'm ready for this labor to be over and for us to see some kind of brand new baby, you know, born of our wisdom and our struggle. I'm ready for that. So in Unity, we talk about these five principles, these five spiritual principles. God is everything. We're imbued with the Spirit of God. We hold thoughts in our mind that express in our world, and the way we think is the way we respond to life. We practice prayer and meditation, and those four are great, aren't they? They're great. But the fifth principle is what makes Unity practical Christianity, which is, unless you're putting these things into practice, they're just theories. Unless you're using this to live your life, then it's just a mental exercise with a few spiritual things thrown in. So it's just like they say in a 12-step recovery program, we practice these principles in all our affairs. Yeah? So this is what we're doing with our spirituality. It's we are taking those ideas of God being the only creative power in the universe. That's all there is God. We have a bit of that in us. Just as I did a couple of Sundays ago, we bless babies. We bless a baby. Not because they need our blessing, but to acknowledge what already is. that they're perfect little creatures of God already. We don't need to expunge them of any sin that they got here with. Isn't that idea just ridiculous when you think about it? I mean, who looks into a little baby's face and says, "Oh, you sinful little thing, you"? I don't think I know anybody that does that. Nor should we. And we forget that that's what we are all the way through. That's what we are. And then we start, well, gosh, if I want to have godly things in my life, I guess I better start thinking godly things. I guess I better let that become, I love that sound. I guess I better let that become part of my everyday existence. And I will pray and I will meditate the best way I know how, sitting for 20 minutes in a thoughtless position, or taking my walk, or putting my hands in the earth, or caring for others. I will let my prayer and my meditation be the work of my hands and the work of my feet. That's what I will do with my life. And if you're with us for the first time today, either here in the room or online, that's what we're about. And really, it's those steps are all very simple. They're not always easy, but they are simple. And that code is determined by how you decide to accept it. So when we talk about the feminine and the masculine parts of that, we're talking about bringing the unseen into the visible. We're talking about germination and then birth. If you will, think about the idea of being pregnant and thinking that it's so cool that you're just going to keep on being pregnant and not ever give birth. Nope. And that's what divine ideas have to do in us. That's what our spiritual urgings must do in us. If you've got something that has come up in your life, in your thoughts, a recurring little nudge that has come to you and you have not yet acted upon it, the first question is it now? And the second question is, how shall I? And I can promise you that if it's been nudging you and nudging you and nudging you and you say, is it now? You don't get to go, but I don't want to hear the answer. Or you hear the answer and you go, no, I'm pretty sure that wasn't God. That was just me saying no. Because if something keeps nudging at us and nudging at us, it's time to do it. It's time to bring it into form. And that's what masculine energy is about. You don't have to be a man to practice it. Just like you don't have to be a woman to have feminine divine energy. We have them all. Doesn't it touch us when we look at, for example, the goddesses of the Greek and Roman world? If we look at the Valkyries of Nordic lore, if we look at all those strong, powerful women, they have that feminine quality, but they were fierce. And don't we also love it when we see a big, strong guy who's tender and gentle? Because then we're beginning to, it touches us because we're beginning to see the integration of qualities. And we long for that. That's part of our wholeness, is to see all of that expressed. I have something I want to share with you today, and it took a minute to convince him to let me do it. This little book right here is called I'll Be With You Forever by our friend Michael Finn, who spoke to you last Sunday. Now, Finn wrote this little book, and he had a friend illustrate it. He has not got it to a publisher. We're trying to work with Reverend Ellen Devenport at Unity to see if we can maybe get it published through Unity, because it's talking to children about the important things. And I said, Finn, can I read this on Father's Day? He went, but I'm not going to be there. And I just kind of said, so? And he said, I said, look, I promise the next time you're back at church on Sunday, I'll make sure that people get to express their appreciation for your book. So can y'all do that when Finn's back? He's on vacation with his family being a father right now. So let me read this to you. I'll be with you forever. And you can definitely see little Ford in these drawings. Will you be with me forever? Okay, I'm going to see if I can get through this. I'll be here for a long time, my love. I'll eat my fruits and veggies, whether they're red, green, or sticky. I'll be healthy as can be and take my medicine when I feel icky. I'll get my sleep so I'm not tired. And when I'm cold, I'll warm myself by the fire. I'll say my prayers loud so God can hear. Whatever you're doing, I'll always be near. In the night sky, I'm sorry, Mr. Page here. But one truth the universe holds is that everyone grows old. There may come a day when I'm not around, but all you have to do is look, and I'll be found. In the night sky shining down on you, in the music you hear and play, so don't forget to sing and dance along the way. I'll be the path that guides you as you walk, and I'm here whenever you want to talk. Life has sadness, life has pain, but so much happiness just the same. Find the strength inside. There's no mountain you can't climb. Don't be afraid to open every door. There's so much here for you to explore. Have faith. It's something you can't see, but trust in it like I do in you and you do in me. If your chest gets heavy or your eyes well up with tears, whisper in the wind to relieve your fears. And I'll answer back, I'm always here. For even though I may go before, I'll be waiting on that distant shore. And when your time here ends, we'll always be together. Because a love like ours lasts forever. Go ahead and breathe. And so when we read words like that, to me, though, those words are heroic. They're heroic because they're a perfect blend of caring and showing, of the unseen and the seen, of doing what is ours to do to take care of ourselves in this life, physically, and how our lives go on forever. And Finn has demonstrated that, so that his children will always know the truths that many of us wish we'd known when we were that age. I don't think we were in the room with each other this time last year. I don't think we came back into the room until July, briefly. till we close down again. And so this is the first Father's Day that I've marked with you since my dad passed in November 2020. And I've been thinking about him a lot. I've been thinking about the way he demonstrated his great love for my mother, visibly, openly, emotionally. Drove her nuts sometimes. She's like, go on. How he would take time to listen to us and talk to us about the deep things and teach me how to shoot a gun and teach me about World War II and teach me about death and longing and keeping my mind open. And there might be UFOs. And when I ask questions about why our dogs that had the run of the yard would sometimes have puppies that all looked so different, he said, talk to your mom. And why does that little stud pony look like that? Talk to your mom. So I'm treasuring my dad today because he was a masculine man, but he also had a very, very soft side. And he allowed all of his children to be with him as he left this life. And that was a great gift that he gave us. He gave us that profound moment of passage to share with him right there at the end. And today, as I think about him, I know that many times when someone passes beyond this life, they go on about whatever they're doing in that next spiritual evolution. They go and do that thing. Whatever it is, whatever that other side holds. And sometimes they kind of hang around just to let us know that everything's okay and they're watching over us. And maybe that's a thought we tell ourselves in order to be comforted, but I've been around long enough to know that I'm pretty sure it has more to do with them than it does with us. And I know that you have those who are looking on you as you go about your life from that other side. If it's your dad today, if it's the one who raised you as a father, even if that's a mother, just take a moment today and say thank you. Thank you. And if nothing else, say thank you for making it possible for me to be here and have a life. Because without them, we wouldn't be here. And so what my invitation is to you today is to be heroic in your own life. You can call it a hero, you can call it a heroine, it doesn't matter. It's the integration that counts. Don't let those sweet, creative, divine ideas germinate in you so long that they lose their vitality. Listen for the secondary part of that, which is to bring it into the world. Whether it has to do with a new endeavor, whether it has to do with some healing in your body, whether it has to do with the next step in your spiritual path, do that thing. And I am saying do today, because we talk a lot in church about be, but it's be and do. Letting those hands come together. And that integration is heroic. That lets us stand solidly on the ground, knowing who we are. A divine being here, having this incredible experience in the flesh. And I know it's hot outside right now. So if your way of doing is out there in the world, do it slowly and gently. And when the sun is just rising or just going down, and maybe not even then. Go gently and heroically into your life. Let your hands and feet demonstrate what already lives inside of you. And that may be the best way that we can honor father figures, is to do that. Is to take what was taught to us and improve upon it, make it better, bring a depth and a richness to it. That's what I want to do. I still have that part of me that wants my dad to say, "Wow, you're doing a good job." Don't we all want that? No, I mean, don't, even if we have to get that that confirmation from within ourselves, it's nice when we feel it and know it. And so whether that confirmation of you're doing a good job comes from within, comes from someone externally, whatever makes it land in here, I want to live my life that way. And I think you do too. I know you do. I see you. We're having this great class on Wednesday nights. Oh my goodness. And the depth to which we talk about the richness of our experiences, the way we identify an experience and a feeling in our lives and then go a little deeper and then go a little deeper and then go a little deeper than that, so that we can mine all the richness of it. It is some beautiful excavation that we're doing. It's the kind that makes you feel uncomfortable for a minute, until you've gotten used to wearing the garment, you know, until you've gotten used to this new awareness. But that's what makes us alive, isn't it? So if you've been feeling a sense of stagnation, if you've been feeling a sense of apathy, listen. Listen for what it is in you that's down there, that little germinating thing that's starting to push its way through the soil. I mean, there's a reason why we live on the earth with plants, right? Living metaphors. And so if you listen for the squeak of that plant trying to come up through the soil and go, "Yes, I want to see that in its fullness. I want that. I want a juicy life. I want juice." I love that word. It implies vitality. It implies movement. It implies richness. It's life-giving. So, listen. Listen for what it is that's longing to come into your life in form, in expression, in demonstration. And do that. And for all of you that are dads out there, for all of you that raised your children without a father figure, for all of you who are demonstrating, bless you today. Bless you. Pop, I hear you. Yep, I'm blessing my daddy today too. So may your hearts be at peace. May anything that is yet unhealed in your heart upon reflection on this day be healed. May all the unsettled places in you come to peace. May everything in you that longs to burst forth from you have its perfect shining time. And may you walk in beauty with your feet. May you create in beauty with your hands. And let us pray. And first, we give thanks for Michael Finn, for his sweet, kind, loving, vulnerable words that he wrote for his children that he longs to share with the world. For their blessing upon us today, we give thanks. For Luther Vandross, who touched that longing in our hearts, that tender place. And for Julian Curtis, for Jeff and Scott, who brought this to us today, we give thanks. Open your heart, beloved. And if you do so and discover there might be some tears to be shed, then just let them come. They too are an expression. The great divine masculine that we've talked about today may come to us in images of mighty mountains, great athleticism. But it may also come to us in a tender touch on a child's cheek. Words of love and caring. And for all the richness and the wholeness in us that we hardly have the words to describe, we're always grateful. We know that what our words cannot express, our hearts still already know. And so, God of the universe and God of our breath, right here, now, present, we give thanks that not only are we inspired to think and create, but we also give thanks that we share that gift with the world in small ways, in grand ways. So that every time God is more present through the work of our hands and our feet, more of God, more of God, more of God. And so today, as your heart rests, ask those questions. What? When? How? Take a moment and let all the parts of you that have been labeled this or that or the other thing knit themselves together. So that your inner being fully inhabits your flesh, fully lives in your body. And breathe again, and breathe. And let both the tenderness and the strength of this day live in you. Carry them with you. And may the mighty peace of God that passes all understanding be yours today and tomorrow and all the days to come. And so it is. Amen.